for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM, WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
And a good evening to you, Buffalo and around the world on the internet. I'm Nick Mandola. Ben Tsujimoto is here. He is from the Buffalo News soccer blog. That's soccer.buffalonews.com. And I am from lots of stuff, but we'll go with prosoccertalk.nbcsports.com. Yeah, lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.com. I'm not sure what that website is, so don't go there. Don't go there at all. A terrible amount of things to talk about today, and we will get into a lot of them. There's some local news that Ben has confirmed or broken or whatever you want to say that we can talk about a little later. Some FC Buffalo notes, the NPSL Combine, but we will begin with the matters of the day, which are the announcement of the Ballon d'Or, the World Footballer of the Year, I believe is the proper terminology for it. They handed it out in the men's and women's side in, was it in Switzerland again? Do they always do it in Switzerland? I did not follow the ceremony once I saw that Lionel Messi was wearing an orthodox tuxedo this year. The only person who really mixed it up this year was Paul Pogba of Juventus. And so, yes, I was monitoring quickly because I got to a point in my life where I'm analyzing soccer, Ben, and I thought to myself, if anyone other than Lionel Messi wins this award, I'm going to lose my mind. I just think, and he won it.
He did, for the first time since 2012.
Correct. To me, there is no one in the world like him, and in my life, if I really think about it, actively viewing, seeing guys play a decent amount. So I'm not talking about seeing highlights of Pelé or seeing highlights of Diego Maradona. But guys, since I've been actively watching soccer, there has been no one like him. The closest is Ronaldo, and if you look at the numbers, it's not even close. I thought it would be closer, in fact, when I looked up the numbers. So my question to you, and surely there are a lot of Ronaldo fans out there, Cristiano Ronaldo fans, who would say greatest player of this generation, they probably don't think he's the greatest player of right now. But and you can give us a call at 716-878-5104 if you want to talk about it. To me, Ben, there is no one but Messi. It is 1A, and I won't even go to 1B anymore. It's 2 for Cristiano Ronaldo.
So were you bothered by the decisions the last 2 years prior to this that both went to Ronaldo?
The year of the Decima, the 10th title, he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But to me, what's brilliant about Ronaldo is almost he's a physical specimen unlike so many others. He's strong, he's big, he's athletic, he's a power player, which is funny. You don't really think of him that way.
Yeah.
And maybe because of Messi's height, I think that way. But Messi does things that we don't see anymore so often, not to make an FC Buffalo comparison, because I don't think they're in the same planet as one another.
Chris Walter?
No. When when FC Buffalo had Russell Cicerone from UB a few years ago, I always used to say that he was a threat to be the last of the American collegiate dribblers, that you don't see guys attack defenses that way. And that's what I love about Messi. You don't see guys successfully take on defenses that way, but also have the free kicks, the long shots, the quick, what's the word we use, jinx. Mm-hmm. He's just phenomenal in every way, and I don't think there's another guy like him.
He has so much class once he gets in the box, too, and it's hard to reconcile that with the pace that he's going. You know, for me, it's the ability to be so fast and so quick.
The road runner.
But still stay under control this whole time. And he has, you know, a lot of clever finishes. Sometimes they're just kind of scoops or pokes or but he gets them off so quickly. And that's really what sticks out to me about Messi. I know he's a great dribbler. I know his center of gravity plays a big role. He's obviously very quick. I don't know. Would you say he's really straight line fast?
I don't think about that. I wonder, though, because I've never had to analyze it. His runs are so cutting. Mm-hmm. And well-timed that I have to wonder, is it just that he's ahead of it? There's a very intellectual way to how he plays. And what I love about the Barcelona system is that it kind of comes through. You can trace this timeline of your Iniestas, your Ronaldinho, who, by the way, there's another shout for Messi. They just gave him the 10 jersey after taking it off Ronaldinho, who was one of the most successful players in their history. I don't think about him as a speed merchant, but I would imagine he's probably pretty quick.
I think Neymar beats him in a foot race pretty easily.
Well, you got about 7 or 8 years on him now.
True.
Neymar impressed me on so many levels. I've, like many, I think, probably have kind of thought of him as a bit overrated. Captain during the... Was he captain during the World Cup? Yes, he was captain during the World Cup. They lost him to injury in Copa America. Brazil, I'm talking about, not Barcelona. And I had always thought, has he earned that? Has he earned that? What's the story here? And Messi goes out injured for a month and a half.
2 months, yeah.
And Neymar was out of this world good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think maybe there's a little bit of a golden age there. If you, I haven't seen this, but going through history books and reading about when Puskas was at Real Madrid and some of those other players who had such tremendous success, I still think of this trio right now for them, and I'm including Suarez as, I don't want to say unrivaled, because we've seen Eto'o play with Henri and Ronaldinho, which was pretty special. But to me, this is just it's a golden age. Last season was a golden age for watching a single team operate.
I collected some stats today, Nick.
Do it.
I did. There were 56 matches that Lionel Messi played in the year 2015, and that's including La Liga, that's including the Spanish League Cup, it's including Champions League, and it is also including international play.
Okay.
So that's 56 matches.
Your Copa Americas, your World Cup qualifyings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how many matches of those 56 do you think Lionel Messi did not score in? And those 56 are all starts, so I didn't include substituting appearances.
Okay. Of starts that he didn't score a goal in.
Yeah.
I would say it's extraordinarily low, but I will say 7.
Wow. You are definitely more favorable on Messi. It was 23 games where he didn't score goals.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he puts up a lot of 2 goals and 3 goals. He's also an assist man, and that's the thing that kind of that I think about with both him and Ronaldo, that the stats may never do him quite the justice they deserve.
I think in La Liga he's the most productive, though. I traced it back here. There are 29 La Liga games in 2015 that he played, and I know that sort of split seasons into two, but 37 goals in 29 La Liga games, that's pretty ridiculous when you think about it, even though I know there's the whole, like, oh, La Liga is kind of weak as you get towards the bottom. They're absolutely marauding teams at times. So, and plus, he's surrounded by such good players that there's a lot of ways you can, I guess, you know, discount from Messi's achievements. But, I mean, it's not Messi's fault that he's playing next to great players either, you know.
No.
So.
I'll raise you this. 3 times in the last 6 years, he's scored double-digit goals in the Champions League, best of the best, et cetera.
Yeah.
He's still missing that crowning Argentine achievement.
Yeah, I'm interested in talking about that, because a lot of Messi's detractors say that when he's with Barcelona, he's so successful because the team is built around his abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And in Argentina, there's a lot more factors that weave into it. Argentina is not built around Messi for whatever reason. It probably should be, but and that is mirrored, or that's how they try to explain his lack of success with Argentina. And it's not that he's been a bad player for Argentina. I just don't think he has been as dominant as he is for Barcelona.
It's very interesting. And at the same time, I feel maybe a little unfair. There is rarely a game for Argentina. I mean, you think about CONMEBOL, there are not, what are there? I'm going to embarrass myself here, but I think there are 10 nations that compete in CONMEBOL. And so when he's doing qualifying, when Argentina's doing World Cup qualifying or whatever, you know, they're going to get Bolivia, they're going to get Peru, who are still teams that can play. There was danger for them to not get into the World Cup last year. Or the last time around, they went ahead and went to the final. It is 10. 10 teams.
Very nice.
And they went to the final. And he was golden ball, maybe, or golden boot. Either way, he was adjudged to be incredible. And to say that because this, and how much of that is reputation, I don't know. Mascherano may have been even more important to their World Cup success. But Ben, the question remains, he hasn't had the success. He doesn't have a title.
True.
He did go to the doorstep of the World Cup in a game that went to extra time.
And if you look at it, it's really, would you say it's a golden age of the Cotton Bowl? I mean, you have not only Argentina, but you have Brazil, Chile, Colombia. I think Ecuador's still.
They're pretty good. Went to the World Cup. Went to the World Cup. Qualified for sure.
Uruguay, obviously a very solid
team. Venezuela has Salomon Rondon. Like, you can name a player on almost every team. The ones I would struggle with are probably Peru and Bolivia.
Yes.
But you could still, if you read out that roster, you'd be like, oh yeah, him. And I think it would be incredibly interesting. And I know the time zone arguments, but we've read a lot about merging CONCACAF and CONMEBOL. And the concept, that would be horrific for...
It would be terrible for CONCACAF.
It would be, and that's why it'll never happen. But you think about that, and if I'm the sixth best team in CONMEBOL, I haven't gone to the World Cup in a long time, and I'm thinking to myself, what do I need to do? You know, Colombia right now is out of this world. And I know there are ebbs and flows, but that team is loaded.
I think they're still in South America.
From nearly top to bottom. I know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these teams that are sixth and
seventh.
That was
an out of this world comment.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't my best.
No, it was good. I was just on a wavelength. I'm running hard here. I think a great deal about CONCACAF in terms of how the fifth place team has to play, you know, New Zealand every year, because New Zealand wins that every 4 years. And I often think, wow, that is a raw deal for both of those nations because, you know, the hex is tough. We've seen it all the time. For as much as the United States has succeeded in World Cup qualifying, they have struggled almost every cycle at some point, because going to a, you know, I'd like to see Argentina. We talk a lot about how they have this sort of competition level that's much higher than CONCACAF. They also haven't had to play in pitch black in Haiti yet.
Yeah, or in Mexico City.
Mexico City, yeah. So it's very interesting to kind of take a look at. But going back to the Messi point and why he hasn't performed, I guess I kind of want to say I think he has. And I also think it's a much more physical game at the South American level, if I'm generalizing, and I surely am generalizing. But again, with Argentina, he has the record for top goal scorer in a calendar year, top goal scorer in a World Cup qualifying campaign, top goal scorer in friendly matches, only player to score in all three matches at the group stage in one FIFA World Cup, which happened in 2014. Mm-hmm. Youngest player to play in a World Cup for Argentina, youngest player to score in a World Cup, youngest player to reach 100 caps in CONMEBOL history. He's just... most man of the matches in a FIFA World Cup, wow. And most man of the matches in Copa America. And that is all within the last 2 years. So, yes, he has a better supporting cast there, or he has a better supporting cast at Barcelona. But what he's done as the focal point and the unquestioned focal point with respect to Aguero and with respect to Mascherano. It's just not it's a hard question for me, and I take almost a little offense at it, as if this rich man who's probably going to jail at some point for money laundering as if he needs my defense. But I have, even if I didn't like him, there is almost it's a combination of the consistency and class of Derek Jeter, if I were to go baseball here, the power of a Barry Bonds, you know, and he chips in defensively as well. He is everything I want in a football player.
He's very Ricky Henderson-ish.
There's some Ricky Henderson to him. I wonder how long he'll play is a good question.
Yeah.
Because he had those muscle ailments in his younger careers. Mm-hmm. Younger career, I was reading up on it that Messi had, they hired a specific physiotherapist that traveled with him year-round, including to Argentina matches. And that is just showing you how important it is to be on a club with mega money. But that's what Barcelona did to take care of him.
Imagine if you're Newell Old Boys and the other handful of teams that had that opportunity to sign Messi in that period, and they're like, we don't want to spend that money on his medical treatments. We're gonna let somebody else deal with it. And then now when he's won his fifth Ballon d'Or, you're like, oh, I'm sure every single time that's happened, they've just kicked themselves, and it's like reliving a nightmare all over again.
Yeah, you think about that. He's about 7 years old when he joins Newell's Old Boys and leaves at 13 for Barcelona.
Yeah.
At 13, he goes, and this happens to a lot of guys, Luis Suarez, basically anyone who has taken their career from South America over to Europe. But you are going, if you think the flight from the United States is long and the culture shock, flying over there. Now, Spain, obviously, probably a little closer in climate, but I think about a guy like Messi at 5'7", and who knows how tall he was at 13, flying over. And 5'7", if you look at him, is probably a little gracious.
Oh, exaggerated, yeah, I'd say.
You know, the old Nathan Gerby effect. But he goes to just flips his entire life upside down, and that's, you know, that's just wild to me. Do you think there is an argument for Ronaldo, for Pogba, for... I'm trying to think of the other players who have that big of an impact on their teams that made the World 11, which you have in front of you.
I am staring at it. I think I'm wondering when the baton is going to be passed from the Neymar Ronaldo, or excuse me, I just gave that away. the Messi Neymar debate to where Neymar is actually a serious contender, because the points you made earlier about Neymar, and I think he's definitely, since the World Cup fiasco, I guess you could say, that he's, and not even that he was necessarily bad in the World Cup, they just went
well,
out.
Well, you saw what happened when he got went out injured.
Right, yeah, yeah. it ended ignominiously.
Ritually slaughtered.
For that whole team. Didn't he, like, break his buttocks or something like that? Like, it was a very weird injury. You
know, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
it might have been a fierce comb-over injury. Because we saw when he shaved his head.
Yeah.
There's not a lot cooking down there.
No.
Future Rooney.
No, I think Neymar is maybe, see, he's 23 now. I say... In 2 years, if he continues to improve and produce at this rate, I think he's going to bypass both Messi and Ronaldo. Ronaldo's 31
at
now.
That age.
Yeah, when
like
he's 25.
In a moment in time, not bypass them as overall players.
No, I mean bypass them in terms of who's going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I would I would think he's within striking distance for 2016. It's a clean slate. It wouldn't surprise me to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I look at Neymar, who has been fantastic. And granted, he's also not the focal point of their attack a couple of years ago when he leaves Santos to head over there. But his best year so far is this year with 18 goals in 23 games. And he is, as you mentioned, 23. I just want to dip back to Messi and kind of when he's 23. That year is 2010. And where is he at that point? And I honestly don't know as I look this up. But in 2010, for Barcelona, he is hitting that same exact about that same exact stride. So it's not absurd to think that given the resources of Barcelona that Neymar could continue to put up bonkers numbers and even Messi-esque numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to see Neymar throw up a 50 goals in 37 league games?
Probably not, but maybe. I mean,
it's possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. He's a guy who, just like Messi, has an individual dynamism to him where he doesn't need to rely on other players necessarily. Granted, he's better when he's in space, but it's in modern football, especially when you're surrounded by talented players, it's a lot easier to put somebody on an island, you know. And with Neymar, like, no one can stop him one on one. It's hard enough to stop him one on two, you know. And I think he's well on his way. The Paul Pogba, I don't really see it quite yet, unfortunately.
Sure. I mean, more the numbers will never be there with him. He's
not
the finisher. He's more of a, you know, an influencer.
Yeah, Pogba's a box-to-box guy. He's fun to watch. I mean, I think he has more flair than Messi does, you know.
Sure.
And flair is
He just looks. He plays a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Pardon the overused beautiful game, but... Pogba almost glides through the field.
Yeah, he looks like what Yaya Toure would want to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No
Toure's
offense,
a mess. Toure is a mess. Did you hear what happened at they had the awards for African football last year or last week?
What happened with Yaya?
Yaya Toure. Ben, I'm happy to bring this news to you. He did not win. He was hoping to win the African Footballer of the Year.
Oh, yes.
He had won something like 4 or 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get that exact number, but he's already the record holder. This was you've done it again, pal. And he came out after he lost to, I'm going to murder the name, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
That's good. I don't think he murdered it.
I don't know that it's Obama every time I say that, but A-U-B-A-M-E. Y-A-N-G.
That's how I've heard it said. The Michael Schiebers out there might call you out on this.
I'm looking forward to hearing from Michael. But the Borussia Dortmund player, he edged Yaya by 7 points in the voting after finishing 55 points behind him last year. And Yaya had won it the last 4 years. No one had ever won it 5 times in a row. Actually, I don't think anyone had won it 4 times in a row. And he lashed out. I mean, this dude flipped out. He couldn't believe that he had won, or he had lost, excuse me. He criticized anyone who voted for him, who voted for Aubameyang instead of him. Mm-hmm. He said, normally when you win the African Cup of Nations and you are named to be one of the 23 best players in the world, being the FIFA Pro List as the only African and today to be decided second, what can you do? Normally, this kind of trophy, you achieve it when you've won something and when at the end of the season you have achieved something. You know what I mean? I don't say like I would be the best and I don't want to complain, but when you win important trophies and you don't win personal trophies, it is a little bit of a shame. And the reporter said, do you want to congratulate Aubameyang? He said, definitely. It's not his fault. The fault is with the people he knows. You know what I mean? He's been doing brilliantly, and Andre Ayew deserves to be third as well, but I'm a little bit disappointed. What can we do?
I don't feel bad for you, Yaya.
I don't feel
enough.
Bad for him at all. Why don't you try all the time? Then there would be no question.
Oh, and it's maddening because there's still moments of the old Yaya, and we've discussed
recent
that on
weeks,
discussed that on previous shows. But it really only shows itself in its finishing, in his finishing. Yeah. He's a he, not an it.
He doesn't feel like a dominant. I don't know that. I guess you would call him box to box at some point.
Yeah, he used to be box to box. Now he's more like, you know, semicircle to
go get me that ball.
Yeah.
You could just see him nodding at Jesus Navas. Go get me that ball. I'd like to shoot now. Yeah, I thought that was rough. And this transitions into something that we'll talk about a little bit later, and that is how we judge the players from different continents and how we judge the style of play and where the influence is, etc. I've always made the line to you that in my wildest dreams that you grow an American team. Obviously, I'll say FC Buffalo, but you grow to the point where you're competing at the Club World Cup. To me, that event in time is going to be something very special. But as long as there's just money in Europe, that team will always be the favorite. You know, we've seen some of the better teams from Mexico over there and not even Liga MX. And not even make it to that next level. It's a question for me when you see a guy who plays for TP Mazembe and is the FIFA Young or the African Young Player of the Year, and he is just absolutely tearing up, coming from my Tanzania. And you wonder, when are these guys, would they make a seamless transition? Because it goes to the American side. And I think about Bradley Wright Phillips for this. You and I were talking a couple weeks ago on the show about players who, you know, what's the rival for MLS in terms of what's the parallel? What's the league in Europe where you can say this is similar? A lot of people say England's championship. Mm-hmm. Well, Bradley Wright Phillips, who came here at age 27 or 28, had only put up any numbers that were anywhere near the MLS production he's had in League One. So, and he's been more explosive in MLS. Now, does he just get it? Did he need to be separated from Europe? Or are we talking about still that big of a gulf between the best league, one of the two best leagues in North America, and the rest of the world?
I spent a little time watching QPR a couple of weeks ago, and I had watched, I think I either watched an MLS match earlier that weekend or maybe the week prior, close enough where MLS style play
was in your
and
head.
Quality of play was in my head. And I wanted to watch QPR. I hadn't seen how Charlie Austin was doing. I heard this Phillips fellow was pretty decent.
Oh, I love Matty Phillips.
And I checked it out. I probably watched a half of it. And I think without a doubt, at least in watching that game, the very small sample size that I had, that championship is still better than MLS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Noticeably, which is kind of scary when you think about it.
It is. Considering the size of the nation, and that once you start getting into those lower divisions, there are less and less foreigners. Like, that's the thing that throws you off, is do I think the United States, you know, in any given day against England can win? I do. I really do. I think there's a lot to be said there. Do I think if you started going to England B versus America B, England C versus America C, I think you are not seeing, you're seeing a lesser and lesser chance of seeing any sort of wins. Because it's just the culture there. Every grown man of, or every young boy of athletic notion is there. Although they love darts. And it is a bunch of gigantic Caucasian men. I don't know if you've
seen. Play darts?
Yeah, you can bet on darts over there.
Oh.
You can bet on anything.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's
we
true.
Could bet on anything right now.
I lived over there for a while, and I mean, it was a semester in London, pretty close to where Arsenal played at when they were at the old Emirates Stadium.
Oh,
or,
awesome.
Or Highbury, excuse me.
Did you catch some games while you were over there?
I didn't. I tried to get to a, was the Carling Cup?
Okay.
I tried to get to one of those matches, and then I realized it was actually in Wales, and
oh.
I was not close to Wales.
Yeah,
at
no,
the time.
You weren't.
No, so I unfortunately didn't have the funds nor the time to really do that. It was one of those programs where you were just basically
on the go. Yeah.
On the go, yeah. You were your nose
on
was
a schedule.
Nose was in a book or in a museum or somewhere. But no, it was there were kids in Highbury Park at the age of, you know, 7 to 10 who were as good as American like 15, 16, 17 year olds
sure.
at the time. This was 10 years ago. And I think the U.S. has caught up some. I go to Salem Sports Park,
yeah.
or I go to Epic, and it's just very noticeable how technically better. They're not necessarily better athletes. Maybe they're a little bit better conditioned, but I wouldn't say very much so. But the technical level, the ability to play with 2 feet, just having their heads up, like it's better now in the U.S., but in England then, it was just amazing. Like, you could just stare. I had a torn MCL at the time, so I wasn't really moving too much. but so I would just go down to Highbury Park and watch, like, you know, 8 to 10-year-old kids play. And they were, like I said, they were dynamic. They played quickly. They played at a faster pace.
How long
Americans.
Did you watch this?
Probably, like, an uncomfortable amount of time.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
A solid 45 minutes.
It seemed like it was drifting in that direction.
Yep.
No, I would say this. I think the upper echelon of our players, I'm very proud. That's why I have to be careful. I like to be careful when I'm having conversations like this because I'm extremely proud of how far American soccer has come in such a short period of time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just to get to where one of the best accomplishments, if you really wanted to bear down and talk about the best team accomplishments, I have to think the 2002 World Cup for the United States has to rank in the top 20 of surprises uh-huh. in World Cup history. And that was a fantastic ride and a fantastic team. And perhaps it was a golden generation. And I don't think we're too far away from that. I really don't. Heck, if Jordan Morris signs with Werder Bremen and plays up top with Aaron Johansson for the next year, perhaps we're already talking about a sort of chemistry that we've never seen. Mm. You can point to different places in Europe where guys have played together and then jumped onto the national team together.
It's funny how now Germany is the it place for Americans to go abroad.
Yeah.
It was never really that way until we started pulling players over from Germany for the U.S. team.
Yeah, and that's right. And they're thinking about it that way. England has been that way with Jamaica a lot, actually.
Really?
Barnes from Houston Dynamo.
Giles
Barnes.
Yeah.
Jamaican international.
That's interesting.
The guy that just signed with San Jose as a DP who was there beforehand, Simon...
Garfunkel.
Simon Garfunkel. I can't think of the guy's
name.
Simon Dawkins.
Okay. Yeah.
So England and Jamaica, obviously two different sized nations than Buffalo and Germany. But there's more to discuss about that. I would like to have a men's national team discussion with you.
Ooh.
It's kind of a lazy, cold... Well, it's very cold, but it's a lazy soccer time. We have Premier League games tomorrow. We can highlight what's going to go on in the next few days. But we started with the Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or.
The golden balloon.
The golden balloon. The shiny balloon. We're mesmerized by it. Mm. He's Ben Tsujimoto. I'm Nick Mandola. We're on WBNY. Derek Kramer producing like a dude who knows how to produce in the other room. We'll be back after the break here on WBNY. Welcome back. Lots to discuss here on the Football Club of Buffalo show. I'm Nick Mandola from, I'll just say from FC Buffalo this time, equal opportunity. And Ben Tsujimoto is with me. He is from the Buffalo News soccer blog. That's soccer.buffalonews.com. Derek Kramer's in the other room. He talks about the other football most of the time.
I'm all about that egg ball.
He loves the eggs. Mm-hmm.
And Blair Walsh.
Like eggs.
Who doesn't love Blair Walsh? That poor, poor man. Got to make that kick. Got to aim for the other stick. That's what you got to do.
Laces out, Dan. Laces out.
A little disappointed that he went for the near post, so to speak, from that hash mark. But
agreed.
Leaves very little room to miss. So I did not tease this, but before we get into a little bit of American soccer talk, there are 20 players, Ben, and we're going to test you here.
Mm.
20 players received the most votes, or the 20 players to receive the, you know what I mean, the top 20 vote getters is what I was looking for.
Okay.
For the Ballon d'Or, for the Golden Balloon.
The Golden Balloon.
Of those 20 players.
Okay.
And I'll even give you three misses.
Really? Wow.
I'll give you three misses.
Okay.
Is that too many? Should we go with two?
No, three's good.
All right, I'll give you three misses. How many of the 20 do you think you can get?
Well, we'll say Neymar. I really like to talk about
it. No, well, we know you're going to get the top three, but
I know.
I that's why I'm saying four would be a real weak call. How many of those 20 will you get?
Oh, how many do I think I'll get? Oh, boy. I would like to say I could get 10.
And how many? Okay, 10 is fine. How? And we'll give you three misses. How many can you name comfortably without missing one?
Oh, man.
Where will your first X in the Family Feud come in?
My winning streak, huh? Oh, man. Well, let's see. Suarez?
Okay. I still want a number. I still want a number.
Oh, you still want to? Okay,
how many of that 10 till you get your first for your first X, Ben?
Oof, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself for this.
Okay. Go low. That's fine.
Four.
Four? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well.
Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, you're at three.
Terrific. Suarez, so I'm at four.
Suarez, yeah. Number five on the list.
Comfortably met my number.
He got votes from 3.38% of voters.
Oof. Okay. I would say Lewandowski.
He is number four.
Wow.
You have got the top five.
That's strong.
Out of the way.
Strong for me. Let's see. Is Griezmann on there?
He is not.
Oh,
so five was your first number, and you have one strike.
I know. Okay, Pogba.
Pogba is number 15.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Huh. Let's see.
You're
who
at
else?
Six.
Iniesta?
Iniesta is on the list. You are at seven.
Okay.
None of these, for the record, would there's only one that I think would be really truly impressive for you. Two that'd be truly impressive for you to get.
Aubameyang?
He is not on the list. There's your second strike.
See, that's dumb. Shouldn't he be on the list?
He probably
had an outstanding 2015.
He's the best player in Africa.
Eesh.
And there's only one player from Africa on the list.
Oh, Touré.
Oh, got you to eight there.
Yep.
So you have to get two more names.
Two more without a
miss. Of the top 20 vote getters for the Golden Balloon.
The Golden Balloon. Let's see, are there any English players? Yeesh. Luka Modric?
Luka Modric is not on the list. You are out.
Oh, unbelievable.
You did not get to 10. You missed number 6, Tommy Muller.
Oh, okay.
From Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Number 7, Manny Neuer, also from Bayern Munich.
I was thinking goal scorers.
Number 8, Eden Hazard. Number 9 was Iniesta. Number 10, Alexis. Number 11, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah,
surprised you didn't get that one.
I should have gotten Zlatan, yeah.
12 was Yaya. 13 was Sergio Aguero. 14, Javier Mascherano. 15 was Pogba. 16 was Gary Bale. 17th was Art Vidal from Chile and Juventus. Arturo Vidal.
Was he the one you would have been surprised by?
Yeah. And 18 was the next one, and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne.
I wouldn't have think that De Bruyne would have made it on there.
Yeah. I think the Belgian thing maybe give him a little more love. He was great at Wolfsburg, though. And number 19, Hamas.
Yeah.
And number 20 was Karim Benzema. So clearly not taking into account blackmailing your teammates.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because of the FIFA World 11, eight of them
were from Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah, or from La Liga, I guess, as I was thinking, but to even break it down further. Yeah, that's I think that's a little. Do you think that's fair? I mean,
no, I don't.
You don't think that's fair?
I don't think that's fair.
Who do you think was snubbed in particular from this World 11?
The World 11 was Neuer in goal, which I don't think you could really have an argument with.
Right. I can read off the defenders if you want.
Just go ahead. Yes, give us the whole list.
It's Thiago Silva, Marcelo, or Marcelo, as they say, Sergio Ramos, and Dani Alves. I think Dani Alves is kind of ridiculous.
I think they're probably trying to put together some semblance of a proper by using him as an outside back, maybe.
Yeah, I see that. Well, okay.
Probably not.
Yeah. I don't know.
You would be playing Silva at left back. Or right back. left back. Keep going.
Midfielders, Andres Iniesta, Luka Modric, Paul Pogba.
Mm-hmm.
And the forwards, Neymar, Messi, and Ronaldo.
I mean, the biggest argument is obviously forwards have the most, what's the word I'm looking for? They have the most glitter and the most glamour. And so someone like a... someone like a Suarez, I guess, could have complained a little bit, but I don't have any gripes there. In the midfield is where things get kind of crazy. And in the defense, to have two Real Madrid backs is a little absurd to me. Now, who pops into my head is a guy who should have been in the mix, and what are we measuring?
Matt Miazga.
Matt Miazga is probably better than all four.
Agreed.
The Polish-American wonder. No, I don't know. Who cries out for that list? Hazard, to me, fell off dramatically, and that cost him, because from the second half of last year, I put him ahead of Modric. I would do that for sure. I think Modric is probably the outlier there if you're going to drop off a midfielder. Juve went to the final, and Pogba was fantastic. He's also an integral part of the France setup. Maybe he lost a little bit of chances to shine because France didn't have to qualify for Euro. So wasn't as front of mind as we could have been. But Iniesta, I mean, I guess you could argue against Iniesta as well.
Yeah, you definitely could.
And I wonder where you would go with that. Who was the sort of player, though, Ben, that pops to mind? Like, how are we ignoring this? Because the next group of guys I think of are names that I know shouldn't be there. I think of, like, guys who have had success in Euro qualifying, Christian Eriksen, and also played for Spurs. I'm thinking of the top of the Premier League table, and I'm wondering, who is barging their way in the door? Who's to miss? David Silva? Maybe?
Yeah.
Is he knocking on that? Matic was fantastic the second half of the year, but again, not the first half. Who's sliding in there ahead of these guys? And I guess that's how it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Sigurdsson. It's not any of the Arsenal midfielders. You know, I mean, I think maybe it could have been, had Aaron Ramsey not gotten hurt, I think he was on a trajectory where he could have at least...
Alexis was pretty fantastic, but he was injured as well.
Yeah.
Because that's all they do is injure themselves over there at Arsenal.
True.
I mean, that's the one reason I'm not... I still have a hard time thinking of them as the favorite, even though they clearly are.
Fabregas has fallen off pretty badly. Hazard, like you said, has fallen off.
Yeah,
badly.
And the voting was, especially if the voting was done, you know, September, October of this year.
True. They didn't have that.
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess at the time of the voting, though, it was pretty sour.
If it was done in May. But I'm going back to this year's, the four teams who were in the semifinals of the Champions League were Juve, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich. Thomas Mueller, you know, is a guy I think that would beg for some love there in that situation. You know, who are the center backs who are being kind of, for lack of a better expression, punked here?
Yeah, center back is tough too, because a lot of times when you do a very good job, you're not necessarily sticking out in terms of... Like I think
Diego Godin, you think of him as darting into the box and putting headers in.
Yeah.
Ramos is just this unbelievable physical specimen.
Mm-hmm.
Pique, I often think of in this way. I would like to see him there ahead of Dani Alves, to be honest with you. And not just because he's married to Wonder Woman Shakira.
He's been hurt as well for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so there have been some injuries to concern. But if you think about the top defenders in the league, you know, I get a little frustrated there. Chelsea, I think, probably got screwed by their first half of the year. I think they probably had shouts for several players to get a nod. Even Courtois would have liked to see himself in that discussion, even with Neuer's reputation.
You know, it's interesting that there are no, I mean, they're all Spanish defenders on there. Because, like, whenever you think of defenders, at least I think of Italy, you know.
Spanish by club.
Yeah, Spanish by club.
Yeah, because Marcelo and Dani Alves are Brazilian.
Brazilian, yeah.
And are they getting a lot of credit for their job done in the Copa Americas? Is that part of the thing that they're discussing? So, yeah, I think that's a big challenge. It's a big challenge to not give it to Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
It's easy to defend the Marcelo and the Dani Alves just because you can point to their numbers and you don't have to use something that's anecdotal or something that's like, oh, this guy is a very good defensive center back. Well, you could say that about several other center backs, but if you look at, I don't know, Marcelo's ex-assists or Dani Alves' ex-assists. You know?
Well, and when you look at the list and the teams that can really defend last year, it's Bayern, Barca, and Juve had outlandish numbers. I want to say it was between Juve and Bayern for the just craziest, lowest amount. And that's why it's surprising to me to not have more representation from this German side that just, I mean, throttled a league that is better top to bottom than any but England, and you can have a discussion there. Is it just that they had too much rotation to get Philipp Lahm in there, or Jerome Boateng? How about Xabi Alonso as a shout for a midfielder in that lane? Had a fantastic season. Robin doesn't get the cut. You know, Lahm to me is, and I actually just got a text. I don't know if you got it as well.
I got it as well, yes.
From a mutual friend that Lahm is better than Alves. And I think I would buy that. I didn't even think of Lahm until right now. The Bayern, I think Bayern has an argument that they're just getting the shaft in a lot of different ways, because they are just cruising again through a very difficult league.
Yeah, Lewandowski and Mueller are the two that stick out. But, I mean, looking at the rest of the FIFA 11, it's really hard for me to say, oh, yeah, Thomas Mueller definitely over,
right,
over Messi, over
Nowhere over Messi, over, yeah. And again, those are the top three players for player of the year as well. So that's a hard luck. This is where second team comes into play, right? This is where you'd like to see a FIFA 22, a FIFA XXII.
Yeah.
That's what and who would comprise that list? That's an exercise for your blog. That's an exercise I would like to see. Okay. Who is the next 11?
I'll write it down as my assignment. Next
11. All right. Yeah. Jack Butland, obviously in goal.
Of course.
No, I here, let me breeze here. Let me give you a quick breeze at my FIFA, Nick's FIFA XXII, and then you can go through it and do it yourself. I am using Courtois in net. I think he's a freak show.
Mm-hmm.
In the back, I'm going to go with Lahm. I'm going to go with
Godin.
I have to look up his first name, and this is embarrassing if he's making my list. But I'm probably going with Chiellini from Juve.
Yep.
And I need another outside back. And
can't use Varane there, can you?
You know, I would have, honestly, just based off last year, I might have gone with Ivanovic.
That would be embarrassing now.
Yeah, it sure would. Jeez, I wonder who my outside back would be. I'll leave that to the others to decide. In the middle, we should probably quit this exercise because I'm going to think about it way too much.
Yeah,
but I'm going
with
Xabi Alonso. I'm going to go. I think you could still argue that Hazard gets a shout there. I think you really could. The up top, Aguero, Lewandowski, Mueller. I'm still probably leaving someone out. And then I need one more midfielder, and I'm just not sure what I would want to do. I need a midfielder and a left back to complete this team.
Maybe Contrao is your outside back. Jordi Alba. Jordi Alba should probably be an outside.
Yeah, that's
back.
Not a bad shout.
Yeah.
Mats Hummels is not an outside back.
No.
But I would love to have him in my group too. Center backs get a lot of. I think it's hard out there to be an outside back. It's hard out there to be a fullback. You know, even when we talk about building a team, we talk about building up the middle. You know, I've got, if you're a college team and you've got 9.9 scholarships and you have to give out fulls, and I know there's a school around here that pretty much is straight with giving out the fulls. If you got 9.9, what's the one position you're not giving a scholarship to? And it's probably right back.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on what your system is too. You know, I agree with it just because every other position is
almost everybody's operating in a 4-something-something. There aren't a lot of 3-5-2s in college.
Well, I mean, I think that's a system that's growing in college. I've seen it occasionally, but
sure.
I mean, Syracuse played a 3-5-2 for a little while. It's not a popular formation.
It's probably your right back there.
Yeah.
Let's dart into another discussion. And we'll put our teams together. We'll get them on the internet for people. Carly Lloyd, by the way, we should point out, won the world's best female footballer.
I don't think there was a doubt either.
Yeah, there
after
wasn't.
After that kind of a World
it,
Cup.
It even. Leaked last week that she didn't win. It leaked that it was going to be sausage from Germany.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I know you love sausage in the morning.
Yes, especially from Germany.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of that. I did want to move on, though. So Carly Lloyd, new captain of the United States as well, along with Becky Sauerbrunn, taking the reins from the retired Abby Wambach and Christy Rampone.
It's going to be difficult for them. They have a tough next generation to build, and it's a different generation. You're starting to see the ECNL players come up, so you have a lot of system players.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they fit in. So, I mean, I think it's important for the captains, especially because they're going to be dealing with types of players now, players who have habits that maybe weren't existing under the previous.
Yeah, we definitely need, if the United States is to remain the power that it is, we need to see a solidified, consistent, well-coached NWSL that is probably more than 10 teams. And I don't think you're going to see it go much higher than that because of the money that is demanded to pay the stars.
Yeah.
You can't start a team in a bunch of markets. I mean, I think there's a ton of markets you could reliably get 2,000 people a game. I don't think there are a bunch of markets you're going to reliably get 10,000 people a game. And that's what you need if you want to have, you know, the Joe Salen team, where he went out the first year his team was pro, or maybe the second year, and had Marta, Christine Sinclair, Alex Morgan on the same darn team.
Mm-hmm.
Be shocked to see anything like that ever again.
It just doesn't work financially. I mean, even with the national teams
paying for the salaries,
paying some salaries, and you're starting to see teams. You're starting to. I mean, how long it was? 2 years ago, I think. I think it was 3 years ago, where NWSL teams had a certain amount of players that they could take from the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, but you could also trade those international spots. So it's interesting to see teams now that have five or six international spots and other ones that have, you know, two or three. And it's funny to see those things no longer level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunately there's not a lot of TV money. I mean, there's really no TV money, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the guys that I've talked to overseas, because England is kind of still has a buzz for women's soccer after this year's World Cup and their sort of unprecedented success. I don't think you're going to see. They say it's still miles below, you know, where the American level is at. So it's going to be Brazil, Germany, the U.S., and France, England and Sweden. I mean, it's those six sides. Mexico is so far off the pace. Canada even has dropped off a little bit. Canada, you're talking about a team who put a player on the best of the tournament who's playing at an American college, which is kind of crazy. I think it's going to be a while before the Americans aren't in just the discussion every single tournament. So for a Carly Lloyd, who's going to be 36 at the next World Cup, then she'll pass the baton to someone else. Becky Sauerbrunn will be 33. In theory, she sticks around and plays till she's, you know, 36, 37 and passes that on. And they've got that sort of rotation where every other cycle they'll be finding their next leader.
Yeah, and you can already see some of those leaders stepping up. I mean, I think
Julie Johnson's
the one who...
Almost surprising that she doesn't get the mantle now, but I guess that's a luxury, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that because you don't have to.
I've read a bunch that says Becky Sauerbrunn is the best positional defender, you know, in women's soccer history, which, you know, is a really... I mean, that's... that involves a lot of competition there.
Can I drop a bomb on Western New York?
What's that?
That I really want to talk about, and I know it's I don't know that we're far enough removed from Abby Wambach retiring.
Mm.
She's one of the best female soccer players of all time. I don't think, man, I'm saying this out loud in Buffalo, close to Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Mia Hamm tweeted hashtag GOAT for Abby Wambach's last game. And I say that's terribly humble of you, because give me Mia Hamm over Abby Wambach 9 times out of 10. I think Hamm is the best American player of all time.
Yeah, I think she's the best soccer player. I think Abby was so dominant because of her physique, partially. You know, I mean,
yeah.
There just weren't people.
And her willingness to get stuck in and head every ball.
Yeah, and then complain for 30 seconds after.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's beside the point. I appreciate
but
what
all
Abby
the,
Abby has done.
GOAT is being overused a bit, isn't it?
The greatest of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
LL Cool J made the GOAT CD in the 90s, and I think we could all stop using the phrase after that point. Because if it's just being thrown around willy-nilly.
Well, the GOAT has sort of stayed around just because of all the Jordan talk, the Jordan and
sure.
LeBron. And I feel like that's what sort of brought it up maybe, I don't know, 2 years ago now. And it's just kind of stuck around because it's an easy way. It's an easy term to use for that.
It
and
is.
People want to
no,
talk about
but
it.
But in that discussion, you're right. You're talking about LeBron. You're talking about Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, absolute game changers.
Steph Curry.
The fact that GOAT isn't even being, it was just basically without question thrown out there for Abby. And it's a sign of respect, which I love. And she's in the discussion.
Yeah.
But to me, Mia Hamm was just a different level.
It's really difficult to compare the two.
They play different positions. I understand that it's Kobe Shaq, right? On the same team at a certain point.
Yeah, I have a hard time, especially when they talk Hall of Fame for NFL or even in baseball. You know, it's really difficult to compare anybody from separate eras because the game evolves so often that.
Sure. Look at receivers now.
Yeah.
Andre Reed's numbers as a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills were incredibly prolific in the 90s. Mm. And Antonio Brown had 135 catches this year. I mean, I think the number of people over 100 receptions, that was a number that couldn't be broken for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they pass so much now. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's why it's difficult to use numbers as something that is
in
like,
soccer too. Yeah. I want to see. I always thought about this with Bobby Orr, Jeremy White, my former colleague over at WGR, would always point out when I would talk about Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky, etc. You know that all the players from now would go back then and just dominate. And I said, well, yes, if you give them the bodies they've had now with the advanced technology and the lightweight materials, of course. Mm-hmm. But like Pele has never used an Adi Zero.
Yeah.
You know?
Pele even have kangaroo leather?
I don't even know. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had, you know, the Pele shoes, but the ball they were using, they were probably using like oblong balls during certain games, right?
It was a gas station ball that we'd have now, right?
Right. It wasn't even being pumped with air. It was just jammed full of pillows and jelly beans. No, but that's where I just can't. I've always had that struggle, and that's why when I brought up Messi, I mean, we're tying in a bow here at the end of the show on the Football Club of Buffalo show, but with Lionel Messi, I don't want to compare him to anyone I haven't seen on a regular basis, but I did tweet this after seeing the highlights of his free kick the other day and the other goal he scored where they passed across the box and it came back. I believe it was with Neymar and Iniesta. It was like a pass from the right side of the field to the left, one touch, then back to the right, one touch, each of them at least 30, 35 yards long before Messi tapped in. I don't want to compare him to someone I didn't see all the time, but when he's done, when he's not in his prime, and we're just saying, when we're having these conversations after the 2019 Champions League semifinal and saying, oh, that moment was vintage Messi. You know, we're in it right now. We're on the tail end of it, but we're in the golden age of watching, you know, the best player of his generation. And it's spectacular.
How much offense do you think Ronaldo takes? Like, do you think he
tons.
Has tons? Yeah.
Tons.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a competitor. In a lot of ways, there's a Bird versus Magic to the pair.
Mm-hmm.
We've been really oscillating through sports here.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
I think some people can associate those comparisons rather than just speaking strictly about soccer.
And I also think Ronaldo plugged into, and I don't know that he would have worked in this way, but if Ronaldo was the focal point of Barcelona and they were building around him, I think he would have been a lot more fun to watch because I think he is a team player and he's in a cast of. Well, but maybe he isn't, right? Because Bale shows up, and they've got Bale and Hamas, et cetera, and it almost seems like he's uncomfortable when he doesn't score. So maybe that is just what a Galactico is a bunch of guys who are coming there to be saluted for their greatness.
I don't think Ronaldo would fit in very well with Barcelona. Because
right.
I mean,
it would have to be an entirely different.
Yeah, and I just think he really likes being the only star. And, I mean, as big as Messi is, his is more of a reputation than it's him talking in the limelight. You don't see that a lot, you know? I mean, with Ronaldo, it's Ronaldo being on the covers of magazines and posing in
clothing
and stuff.
Back at Manchester United, couldn't you? Just to come back and, like, don't you think he's the sort of guy who is salivating at the concept of coming back to save Manchester United?
I would love to see that. I would
Me too. Certainly.
Yeah, I would. And as a former Manchester United fan, I wouldn't say I'm like
sure.
It would be great. It would make watching those games way more exciting. And I know on Pro Soccer Talk, you guys have had a lot of why is Manchester United playing such boring football? What's going on with Louis van Gaal? Like that's been like major topics. So
can you imagine, Ben? Think about this.
I'm not sure yet.
Next year,
yes.
Premier League season starts, and Pep has taken over Manchester City. He's been reunited with Lionel Messi. Ronaldo is at Manchester United, where he's being coached by Jose Mourinho. Chelsea is, who knows who's coaching them? Who knows? I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Who knows what's going on there?
David Moyes.
Yeah, the storylines could just be bananas. And Zlatan, there have been actually a lot of people talking about, he had said as recently as a year and a half ago that he would never play in England. It's just he was past his time. Mm-hmm. And now some of his Swedish teammates have kind of come out and said, yeah, but you know what? If you made the right offer, you know, could you see Zlatan? I could see him in Chelsea Blue. I could see him in Manchester City. I could see him just about anywhere. And he's further along in the past his prime phase, but I want all these guys there.
You know, I think
Zlatan to Liverpool, E5.
This combination, I think, is way more likely for MLS 2019.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Because I think for some, especially for players later in their careers, it's a pretty daunting challenge to go over to England where you know you're fighting week in and week out and you don't get to play the minnows, per se, you know.
They're all going to want to play for Miami.
Oh, yeah. It's
you imagine Ronaldo and Messi and
I still
the same
think
team.
LA is going to be desirable. There's going to be the guys who...
LAFC, yeah. Nice logo, by the way.
Yeah.
I liked it. You don't like it.
Well, it's okay.
I like the gold. I like the proper gold. You don't see that in a lot of uniforms.
Mm. What did you call that? The proper door?
They call it
door proper.
California gold. California nothing. The Anaheim Ducks, they're trying to adopt gold out there in California.
Wow.
Get it? Because of the gold rush.
I do get that.
The 49ers, they're a team with gold.
I thought that was specifically San Francisco.
Who else has shiny gold? Anybody?
My necklace.
The New Orleans Saints?
Yes.
Derek's necklace?
Shiny gold. That's not a super popular color.
Even LSU is in the yellow. Notre Dame.
Yes, yes, that's very good.
All right. Well, that'll do it.
I think so.
Tune in next week when things are more exciting. I'm going to go ahead and throw out there that hopefully we, you know what, I can say this. We'll have, if not reaction to, maybe even the announcement of some signings for the Football Club of Buffalo, literally, FC Buffalo. And I'll also toss this out there. We are hoping to have new Niagara coach, Bill Boyle, who you reported today will be coming over from Albany to head man the Purple Eagles.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying good things about him.
I have heard good things from a couple people, yes. Anthony Rosano, one of them, which you retweeted. BN _ soccer, follow them on Twitter. And by them, I mean Ben. Ben puts the... You couldn't have Ben without BN.
Yes, that's correct.
He's you actually
wrong.
Couldn't have
He's
BN.
Not wrong.
You couldn't have BN soccer without Ben, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Or cross.
I'm going to go now. Thanks for hanging out with us here on WBNY.